greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It has been a privilege to be here and witness this baptism, this growth in the body of Christ and in our church here. And just want to welcome you all to the family. And what a privilege it is to have a group of people surround us that are in this journey together and are committed to the same cause. This morning I want to talk a bit about about commitment, and as Leonard shared on the covenant, I didn't study out the connection between them, but I want to try to describe to you this morning what commitment is, the effect that it has on us if we commit ourselves to something, and what God has promised us if we will commit to Him and to His body. I invite you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. You know, this morning as we face pressure from the world and many things that try us in our faith, it's not going to be our feelings that help us through. It's going to be commitment to the cause. And as I thought back about the vows that I have said and the vows that you all have said, and how are we making it? How are we living them out? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And we sang this over and over this morning. And I hope that you thought about the words we were singing and the beauty of that, that God will and is able to keep the things we will commit to Him. But He can't keep the things that we're not willing to commit. So keep that in mind as we go through this. I have a few illustrations here I would like to share with you to help bring out what it is. What is commitment? I believe commitment is a deliberate choice that we make to make things more difficult to return to our former life. For instance, this morning, baptism. That is another layer of protection that God has set up that makes it harder to return to our former life. It's when we do things, make vows to things, set things in concrete. We can easily associate commitment with how we feel or our emotions. And if we feel the right way, then we can follow through with our commitments. But I want to challenge that true commitment doesn't work that way. Commitment is not an emotion. It is character that enables us, by God's grace, to reach the goals. We live life, and our emotions, some days are up and some days are down. I believe that's part of life at times. But commitment is what keeps things, the vows that we have committed, solid. A solid team, whether it's in church, whether it's a marriage team, whether it's a business team, has to have players that are solidly committed to the team. The first illustration, I want to look at 1 Kings chapter 19. It's the story of Elijah and Elisha. We'll read chapter 19. I'm sorry. Yes, 1 Kings 19 through 21. Now, this is Elijah coming to Elisha. He's out working in the field, just plowing with his oxen. Verse 19, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shophath, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Okay, so Elijah comes along. He's looking for someone to be his personal assistant, to go with him in this cause for Christ. And here we see Elisha, a simple farmer, who was suddenly and unexpectedly approached by Elijah to go with him. And he invited him to be his personal attendant. Elisha then says he would like to go tell his mom and dad goodbye. And that sounds fairly reasonable. But Elijah here says, what have I done to thee? And I take that to mean that he's saying, what claim do I have on you? The choice is yours. Follow me or don't. And put yourself in those shoes. He's got 12 oxen. I picture him to be successful at what he's doing. And he took that yoke of oxen and the instruments of the oxen. He burned them, killed the oxen, and went with him. That, to me, that story challenged me. That's what true commitment is. He got rid of any reason to come back. Elisha was all in. He was ready to serve where he was called. Again, I think commitment is being willing and seeing those things that weaken us and cause us to look back. Commitment is getting rid of those. I also want to read a story of a Spanish explorer. On April 21, 1519, the Spanish explorer Hernando Cortes sailed into the harbor of Veracruz, Mexico. He brought with him only about 600 men, yet over the next 2 years, his vastly outnumbered forces were able to defeat Montezuma and all the warriors of the Aztec Empire, making Cortes the conqueror of all Mexico. How was this incredible feat accomplished when two prior expeditions had failed even to establish a colony in Mexican soil? Here's the secret. Cortes knew from the very beginning that he and his men would face incredible odds. He knew the road before them would be dangerous and difficult. He knew that his men would be tempted to abandon their quest, and return to Spain. And so, as soon as Cortes and his men came to shore and unloaded their provisions, he ordered their entire fleet of 11 ships to be destroyed. His men stood on shore and watched as their probability of retreat burn and sink. From that point on, they knew beyond any doubt there was no return, no turning back. Nothing lay behind them but empty ocean. Their only option was to go forward. So I thought, what is it in my life that makes me look back on my commitments? Do we feel like we have an option that just maybe sometimes the world has a little to offer? And we look over our shoulder and we wonder. These two illustrations here are what I call commitment. I believe one key thing is that we need to realize where I am before God, our desperation before God, what He has drawn us from. Then as He reaches into our life and begins to change us from the inside out, we need to be committed to that change. It's very easy to be committed when life is good. But when God presses in on a point in our life, that's when our commitment is tested. So why is commitment such an important part of the Christian's life? Why is it so important to be sold out and totally committed to Christ? Why is it necessary to burn the ships in your life? To set in concrete important things? I think, and I've mentioned this a little, I think from a practical standpoint, if we give ourselves the thought and the possibility that maybe this is too hard, maybe, or mentally entertaining the possibility of giving up on our commitments, we then realize the energy that is spent when we spend our energy trying to figure things that are already settled. And we can spend so much time and wasted energy on unnecessary things like that. And today is such an encouragement to simply think back. No, I settled that. When I was baptized, I made those same vows. That's settled on earth and in heaven. And it'll help us to put our energy into valuable things. I believe baptism is one of those things where we're setting a stake. We're laying that concrete foundation in a public way. It's a way of solidifying our commitment to Christ. In baptism, we proclaim to everyone that I am sold out to God. I've decided to follow Him where He leads, and by doing this, I'm making it more difficult to turn back to my former life. Commitment to Christ's body, the church, and the rest of the believers will also be will help us to be accountable to our commitments. We have a church family around us to help us when we are missing what we've committed ourselves to. I have a few things here to consider with following God, and I don't want this to be negative at all. In fact, I feel it's very positive, but expect in your life that commitment will cost you. Just expect it. Let's turn to 1 Peter. Getting ahead of myself here. 1 Peter chapter 12. I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, and I'm going to read through verse 19. This is talking about basically suffering for right things. Yes, every commitment we make in life will cost us, but let's make sure we suffer for right things. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as a faithful Creator. We see here that it's clear that we're going to suffer. And that's okay. Don't you think that our Creator, the one that created us, He's promised to sustain us as well? But let's make sure that we suffer for right things. There's a lot of causes out there that are not worth us suffering for. And commitment to God, commitment to His work is top on the list. A quote by Paul Meyer, productivity is never an accident. It is always the result of a commitment to excellence, intelligent planning, and a focused effort. Remember, our Christian walk is never an accident. Serving God and giving ourselves to God is never an accident. It takes deliberate choices. Whatever cause we commit ourselves to in life, it will cost. Whether it's our relationships, even our hobbies, they cost. Investments cost. And the list goes on and on. Whatever we commit ourselves to, they cost. So make sure what you're spending your energy on has a return. And Scripture says here, make sure it's worth suffering for. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a book titled The Cost of Discipleship. And I'd be curious, has anybody here read that? Okay. And I'm just going to pick a small part of that, I gathered. Near the beginning of his books, he writes these words, "Cheap grace is grace we bestow on ourselves. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Grace is without discipleship. Grace is without discipleship. I'm sorry. Let me back up. Grace without discipleship. Grace without the cross. Without Jesus Christ living incarnate." We all know those things that cost us dearly. Those things that we've worked hard for are what mean something to us. And I don't think anyone here has had an easy life, an easy Christian life. And I hope that we have fought the battle. And as this thought here is sharing, it means something to us. Our walk with God means a whole lot to us because we've invested a whole lot in it. And we're not willing to turn back. If our walk with God is costing us nothing, then what will it mean to us? I believe if our walk with God becomes that it doesn't mean anything, then we need to look at our commitments and realize that our lack of commitment will cause us spiritual laziness, will cause us tiredness. The Bible says, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." I now just want to go over a few things that God will give us, that we will be given in life if we will commit our way to Him. Commitment will provide for the Christian direction in life. When we lack direction in life, we come back to the things that we've committed ourselves to. It's that foundation, that launching pad. We can fix our mind on the goal then and refocus our vision. Where was I going again? And the obstacles between here and there will be less of a hindrance. Direction. Stability. People that are committed to a cause, they know where they're going, and they know why they're going there. That stability, that unshaken firmness. Security in what I believe in. I know and I'm persuaded that He that has begun a good work. An anchor and a rest for our souls. And isn't that what we crave so much? In the busyness of life, to have that anchor. We're not constantly trying to decide. There's things in our life that are settled. They're once and done, and we look back and we remember and say, yes, that's what I decided before God and everybody else. And we're not constantly wasting our energy on that. There's lots of Bible examples that we could have looked at this morning. And I think of Ruth and her commitment to go where Naomi went. And I didn't take the time to get the scriptures for these, but Daniel committed to the cause. John the Baptist, Paul and Barnabas imprisoned. Stephen, he was so committed to the cause he was stoned. People that were committed and the circumstances around them did not change that commitment that they had made. And I think that's a very important thing for us to remember. No matter the hard things that we face in life, or the good things that we face in life, a commitment is solid. I read a story of a young man that had just started a business, and he wanted prayers that his business would succeed, and he promised that he would tithe every week. And at that point, I think his tithing was $40 a week. I'm sorry, it was $4 a week at that point. And several years went past, and his business became successful. And he came back to the pastor that he had made that commitment to, and his tithing had rose quite significantly. And he said, it's getting a little too expensive for me. And he wondered if he could go back and change the commitment he had made. Friends, that's not commitment. When it gets expensive on us, that's when we realize if we're committed to Christ or not. When it actually cost us. When we're giving ourselves to the kingdom's work and God is asking for things for personal growth. And we're being challenged in our walk. May God help us not to look back on the commitments that we have made for the cause of Christ. He's calling us to burn the ships, to cut those ties, to free ourselves of those things that cause us to look back. He has something much better, far greater than what we're looking back on. God bless you this morning as you are faithful to the vows that you have made, whether it be marriage, whether it be to a brotherhood, whatever vows you have made, God bless you as you live those vows out and don't fear to make new vows to God, because God will sustain you and He'll give you strength for what He's called you to. Let's kneel for prayer.